Hello, neighbors. This is Russ from Indianapolis, owner at Saratoga Springs and Polynesian. You're listening to My DVC Points.
Parents and the children could have fun together.
Please board quickly and safely. Our monorail will be departing momentarily.
Welcome to the My DVC Points podcast. Join the conversation as DVC members share their stories, personal preferences, and magical memories. Your reservation is confirmed, your fast passes are booked, pull up on the yellow strap because our journey into the magic of membership is about to begin.
To infinity and beyond.
Now, here's your host and curator of magical stories, Chad Pennycuff.
Welcome home, neighbors, to episode 20 of the My DVC Points podcast. We are a podcast produced by DVC members, for DVC members, and our content is all about DVC members. Today's episode is Franken Resort 2. If you recall back to episode 10, we did our very first Franken Resort, where Valerie Farrington was voted on by you, the listeners, to advance into the final round. Well, today we have another preliminary round coming up, and once again, we'll be asking you, the listeners, to go to mydvcpoints.com/020 for episode 20, and we'll ask you to vote on which of these four resorts would you like to see built. The winner of today's show will be advancing on to the final round that'll be judged by former Disney Imagineer and my good friend McNair Wilson. Our contestants today have put hours into designing their resorts. Please take a few minutes at the end of the show, mydvcpoints.com/020, and vote for your favorite resort. I will say this, episode 10 was a nail biter. Valerie only won by one vote. That's it, people. Your vote counts. Let's jump in and meet the contestants. How are y'all doing tonight?
Doing good.
Doing good.
Good.
Awesome.
Good deal. I'd like to introduce everybody here to the audience. And first up, we have my wife, Laura.
Hi, everybody. A couple of the resorts we own at are Polynesian and Bay Lake Tower.
Yep. Some of my favorites, at least Bay Lake is. We have Andrew Darden on the line with us tonight. Andrew, how are you?
I'm doing great today, Chad. We own at Animal Kingdom Lodge, Old Key West, Boulder Ridge, you know, formerly the villas at Disney's Wilderness Lodge, and the new Copper Creek Villas and Cabins.
Yeah, you just can't get enough of that resort, can you?
No, we wanted to make sure we had the home court advantage on Copper Creek when we bought there a couple of years ago.
Perfect. And we also have with us Melissa. How are you tonight?
Good, I'm good. We own at Copper Creek. We're first-year owners, and we've already done our first stay. We're about to do a second stay at Old Key West, so we're curious to see what that one's like. And we may have add-on itis. We've been talking about adding on some points.
Yeah, we all know how that goes.
Oh, yeah. It'll eat you alive.
I've already been tagged a few times with the I've bought on and add-on-itis, and I blame you, Chad. And I'm like, well, okay. So I'll take that one. So I don't know if I like contribute to the disease or support the disease or enable it.
It's all your fault.
You know,
all the above.
Yep, all of the above. I'll take it. So I'll take it.
Hey, it is what it is.
And last but not least, we have John with us tonight.
Hey, Chad. I'm not actually a DVC member yet. Thanks to an organization I got involved with about a decade ago, which had some conventions in Orlando and in Anaheim, that rekindled my love for Disney. And I've been visiting the parks regularly for the last decade or so. And after my last trip this summer, I started listening to podcasts and came across yours. And I've made the decision that I'm going to be a DVC member. I'm going to own at Bay Lake Tower.
There you go.
It's just a matter of when.
Yep, just got to pull that trigger. Prospective members are always welcome in our community, and we welcome you because there's no better way to make an informed decision about DVC.
Yeah, and we members are glad to help you guys out, too.
I've learned so much in the last 2 months from consuming as much content as possible, and I'm really excited about it.
And this is the perfect way to be able to involve you in a show because it's personal opinions. Just to set the show up for the listeners, this is the Franken Resort Show, where we ask members to come back in and design and pitch their next DVC resort. And the hook that I gave them for this one was create a DVC resort that is so awesome that even with these resale restrictions, people are still going to want to buy these points just for the 11-month advantage, knowing that's the only place they could possibly stay. That being said, let's kick over and start to look at what you guys have come up with. First up, we have Laura on resort element number one, which would be the resort name, the theme, the location, and your general background.
Okay, so given that I am a Japanese teacher, I had to go with something that I know and love, which is Japan and the culture of Japan. And so I have decided to name my resort Sakura, which means cherry blossom, and it's kind of a symbol of Japan. So it's going to be a Japanese-themed resort with a fully immersive Japanese experience. The location is going to be adjacent to the Animal Kingdom, opposite side of where Animal Kingdom Lodge is. And I decided to put it there because that's the only park that does not have a resort within walking distance to it. And so there will be a walking path to the Animal Kingdom. In the entrance, you'll be greeted by people wearing traditional kimono. They will be giving you a traditional Japanese bow of respect. Decor will be Japanese theme, including tatami mats, rice paper walls. Obviously, there's a lot of complaints about the sound between the rooms and DVC resorts. So those rice paper walls are very thin. It would be for decoration only. And there's also going to be some anime artwork on the walls, but it's going to really feel like you are in Japan.
Excellent.
That sounds cool.
Kids would love that.
Yeah. Now, what kind of Japanese animals and critters are you tying it in if you're right there next to Animal Kingdom?
I haven't really thought about the animals. I do have some in with my pool and my spa, which I'll talk about a little bit later. As far as I know, Disney actually doesn't have any movies or princesses based on Japan. And so I think that would be a good place for them to start is maybe a Japanese princess would be nice.
There we go.
The only thing they've got is Mulan. That's in China.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So they have an amusement park, which I've been to in Japan, which is amazing, but they really don't have any characters or culture other than Japan at Epcot.
You definitely have to have Duffy there because the Japanese love the Duffy bear.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes, they do.
Actually, I would bring all. Shelly Mae, Duffy, Gelatoni, all them. They love every single one of them.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. That would be cool.
If you go to Alani, you'll see them buying those bears like crazy there.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I thought, too, Japan could always buy the rights to Hello Kitty. Throw that in there as well.
The other part that you've got here is a Big Hero 6 connection you could tie in there with San Francisco, right?
Oh, that's true. Yep. That's right. I forgot about Big Hero 6.
San Francisco, yep.
So that could be a character that you could meet there, yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to move him out of Epcot and over to your resort.
That would be fine.
There.
I'll take it.
But I'm loving the resort at the Animal Kingdom gate, the walk to Animal Kingdom.
I think it would be nice. I was a little disappointed, even though Kidani is actually my favorite DVC resort, that you couldn't walk to the Animal Kingdom from there. So I thought this would be nice.
Very good. So, Andrew, what do you got for us in terms of resort theme, location, and general info?
Well, I've actually got two. One of them would be incredibly far-fetched, but the main one I was thinking about would be one that would be somewhere in the location north of Coronado Springs, and it would, I don't know really what to call it, but it would be very much like the Greek Isles, you know, the white houses with the blue roofs and the cliffs up by the sea. The lobby would be very much an open space, an open type area like you'd find in a lot of homes in the Greek Isles. And each one of the rooms would be like a separate little bungalow or a separate little house that would somehow, some way, you know, only the Imagineers could figure this out, how to make it look like it's a house on the top of or on the side of one of the cliffs overlooking the Mediterranean.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
And you could isolate it enough where if you had any kind of height to it, you could barely see any of the other resorts or the icons of the parks and such. But have it very relaxed, very open, very slow moving, if you would, just like living in one of the little houses there on the side of the cliffs.
Excellent. Now, I think it's interesting. We've got two country-themed locations. I'm here in Japan, and I'm here in Greece in this as well.
Yeah, and since they did the Riviera Resort, which is very posh, and it looks like a lot of the resorts that you would stay in if you had the money along the French Riviera and such.
And what kind of characters are we tying into there?
That's a good question, because I don't recall any movies or even non-animated movies that Disney ever did where it went to that part of the world.
Hercules.
Yeah, Hercules.
Oh, yeah, well, that's true.
Muses, Hercules, Megara, Pain, Panic, they're all Greek. The Greek gods and all that.
So much for my knowledge of Disney movies.
Right.
I have a toddler granddaughter and a 14-year-old regular daughter. So
then you qualify long before I do.
I see them a lot.
I haven't watched them in quite a while.
Yeah, well, your daughter might have been out of the movie phase by the time that one came out.
Yeah, we really never did watch Hercules. However, we did stop Pain and Panic on board the Disney Dream one time to get their autograph. And that was a lot of fun.
Melissa, what do you have for us for resort name, location, and theme?
Okay, so I took mine from two of the moderates that kind of I've heard people complain that don't have quite all the touches they need to them. So mine's going to be the Villas at the Big Easy. I'm going to go back to a New Orleans theme, and we're going to locate it between Magic Kingdom and the Grand Floridian and kind of use the waterway there to play into it. So the resort will touch on the city of New Orleans as a whole. It'll have the feel of the French Quarter, the plantations, the music, and the Fisherman's Wharf with a deluxe resort feel and vibe. You will also be able to partake in a riverboat cruise complete with live music and dancing. Stroll from the resort into the Magic Kingdom that empties into one of the lands, kind of tying like how Disneyland does with the Grand Californians into the park of DCA, but make it easier to get in from there. The themes will fit because you'll have in your old city area of New Orleans, you're going to have a lavish gardens and architecture. And then in the bayou, you're going to have smaller rivers and like the bayou feel, kind of like Riverside, but done a little more towards the bayou plantation side, not the mansions. And then you're going to have your French Quarter, but we're going to hang masks and beads off the balcony like the true French Quarter and have the Mardi Gras feel going really strong. And then for like some of the...
Wow, you put a lot of thought into this.
Aspects I'm thinking is like a strolling jazz band. You're going to have characters like Tiana, Louie, Dr. Facilier and all them come in to play. And there's going to be some interactive stuff for the kids in this resort.
Most excellent. Now, did you think of New Orleans Square over at Disneyland when you were doing this?
Yeah, I was thinking of New Orleans Square and I was going to place it like on the backside of Magic Kingdom between the Grand. That way, the Grand and Magic Kingdom, so you could walk into the park through an entrance there.
Yeah, I love that. That's part of my plan, too.
That was the original add-on land, was New Orleans Square. And that's when Pirates came about in Disneyland. So you've got some rich tradition here with the New Orleans and the theme parks.
Yeah, and I had another idea for an ice place one, but since someone already did that, I kind of changed my feel.
I'm also loving the location of that with a second entrance into MK and another Magic Kingdom resort.
Yes, that would be great.
They might fight for that land over there. But who knows? We could probably steal some of it. I mean, you could kick the water pageant boats out of there from that little storage canal.
Now, they've been there since 1971. Be careful. People will fight you for that.
With this resort, I was also looking at, we don't have a deluxe New Orleans resort. And if we put it over near the other two, it would take away from them.
So yeah, they're moderates.
Yeah, I was trying to give us the deluxe feel of New Orleans, but add some elements, take some elements and change some things.
And I can see that working because the two New Orleans resorts are very, very highly desired. A lot of people like those. Yeah.
I have to say, they're my favorites of the moderate.
They are mine too. One of the things I'm also adding is I want it on the river there or on the lake because the one restaurant I'm adding is going to be a paddle boat restaurant that actually moves around the lake.
Ooh.
Awesome. That'd be really cool. Awesome.
When can I book?
when can I buy?
So that is a true dinner cruise. Okay.
Oh, wow. Well,
we're getting into resort element number two for restaurants there. So we'll have you save the details for that. But John, what do you got for us in terms of resort theme, location, and general info?
Okay. So we're in the same neighborhood here. The name of my resort is the Gateway to the Magic Kingdom. The theme is Hometown USA. And its location is the northwest edge of the Magic Kingdom, just beyond the railroad tracks, and would run basically from about behind Big Thunder Mountain to about Be Our Guest. There's two main inspirations for the resort. Magic Kingdom's my favorite park. As I already mentioned, I want to be at Bay Lake Tower. Actually, though, I'd like to be even closer to the Magic Kingdom. And my favorite element at Magic Kingdom is Main Street USA. That's the inspiration in terms of the theme. The Grand Californian is the other inspiration in terms of location. Because Marceline is such a small town, in order to reach the needed scale for this resort, it's going to be modeled more after the turn of the century Kansas City, Missouri, which is about 2 hours from Marceline. And this is a getaway to the big city for the Marcelites, if you will. The resort buildings are going to be modeled after actual 1890s Kansas City hotels. And while St. Louis has the Gateway Arch, turn of the century, Kansas City was also known as the Gateway to the Southwest. In terms of characters, the citizens of Main Street will be regulars around the resort, as well as the Big Five and the princesses.
Yeah, throw those Dapper Dans in there too, man. Yeah, have them do a little encore performance over there.
That sounds like a lot of the 1944 movie Meet Me in St. Louis movie.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Yeah, cool.
Very cool.
Okay, let's move on to restaurants. Andrew, what kind of food are you serving us over there at the Greek?
Well, of course, you'd have the traditional Greek food, but more authentic Greek food, not the Americanized Greek food that you get at just about any little mom-and-pop shop on the side of the road. And there's tons of them here in Charlotte where I live, but it's really good. But I would be more interested in exactly how the people there prepare their food, authentic, fresh ingredients, so on and so forth. And of course, have mom there to say, why don't you eat? You eat. You need to eat.
Exactly.
And keep putting more food on your plate on a constant basis, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that and I can hear a opa in there the background. Yeah. Oh, right? Yeah.
Yep.
And a plate breaking somewhere.
Yeah, have some.
Gotta have some grape leaves in there.
Be kind of like the characters from My Big Fat Greek Wedding. One of my wife's favorites.
Oh, it's a great one.
Now, was that your main restaurant, or because we're going to go over table service, quick service, bars?
That would be table service. For a bar, I'm not really a bar hopper myself, so I wouldn't really be able to speak on that. But a quick service would be the same sort of thing, where they would have all types of like pita bread, pita sandwiches, fresh fish, and of course, the gyro sandwiches, which would be great. All available at counter service.
Gotta love those.
Yes.
Right.
A quick, easy, you can walk around the parks with those things, eating them, because they're like one-handed type sandwiches are great.
Okay. And do you have a pool bar there or any kind of pool restaurant?
I think a pool bar would be in order, mainly because they would try to recreate what the Mediterranean Sea would look like next to one of the little towns.
Right.
Very good. Melissa, what kind of chow do we get over at the Big E?
Okay. For quick service, we're going to have two different ones. We're going to have the Pontchartrain Cafe, which will serve your po'boys, burgers, king cake, and other specialty desserts. And then we're going to have a Big Easy Riverwalk Cafe, which is actually going to be like near the boat launch. So it'll be a Riverwalk-based one. You're going to have bread bowl soups, salads, seafood platters. And then I'm bringing in a beignet bar. Basically, ooh, you can go get any kind of flavor beignet you want with your chicory coffee and your cafe au lait.
I'm there.
And then for table service, I'm going to one I created in culinary school. It's called Flambeau de Carnaval. It's going to be your flavors of Cajun Creole cooking with etouffee, fried catfish, jambalaya, gumbo, shrimp and grits, Cajun stuffed veal and pork chops, grilled ratatouille, a Cajun popcorn as your starter. And you're going to find this on the roof of the Old City Tower. It will also have a character breakfast for DVC members only. And the member characters will be all from the movie Princess and the Frog. So you're going to have Evangeline on the ceiling, Ray like pointing to Evangeline, Tiana, Naveen, Louie, all strolling through and having a good time.
That would be really cool.
Where would you find the skinny dude to do the voodoo guy? Got to find somebody really, really thin.
They actually have one at Magic. He was just at Moonlight Magic in Magic Kingdom recently.
Dang, I missed it again.
And then for signature, that's going to be your paddle boat. It's going to be called the Creole Queen Jazz Kitchen. It's a live jazz dinner show on a paddle boat that powers around the Seven Seas Lagoon and Bay Lake. Appetizers like a hot crab dip, oysters Ben Vanille. Entrees will be a whole fish Creole, shrimp creole, brisket stuffed with crawfish dressing, a crawfish stuffed filet mignon with a crawfish bordelaise sauce, and each meal will be paired with a perfect wine or cocktail like Victoria and Albert.
You have not put any thought into this, have you?
Wow. You know, the thing that keeps going through my mind is everybody just talks about the poor food quality choices over at Magic Kingdom.
Yes.
With it being a walk to, I think you just solved that problem as well.
Yeah. Now everybody can get Be Our Guest anytime they want to when this place opens up.
Okay. And then we're going to have a bar. It's going to be located on the top of the French Quarter Tower. It's going to be a dueling piano bar. It's basically going to play jazz, and they're going to have two piano musicians dueling back and forth. But with this, you're going to be able to see the fireworks because of where it's located. And then you're going to have appetizers of your crawfish poppers, some hot wings, catfish bites, boudin balls, Cajun deviled eggs, oysters carnival, crab cake, barbecue shrimp, and garlic chicken bite. And then then going into pool bars, which this will be up with the adult pool, which I'll talk about later, you're going to have a specialty drink bar with emphasis on microbrews from the New Orleans breweries. Ooh. We're going to bring those in and make sure that it's straight up New Orleans. Like, this whole resort is going to feel like you're in New Orleans without being there.
Okay, I have to ask, are you building a daiquiri bar?
Like a Fat Tuesdays?
Yeah.
We could consider that.
Wow, I'm there. Sign me up. I give up. Mine sucks. Yours is great. Let's go.
Gotta serve those hurricanes.
You win.
Too.
We've had our first concede, right?
I told you, Chad, I've been tweaking this sucker all week.
Oh, man. I mean, the My DVC Points community group, the trash talking on this episode was just off the hook. I had to start the show with, hey, now y'all be... play nice now. We're not gonna bring that into the recording. So
you start talking good food and daiquiris, and I'll shut up every day.
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling this one, Melissa. I got to give it to you, John. What do we got going on over at your place?
All right. So Melissa and I are singing out of the same hymnal in terms of some of our elements here, and Chad, we're going to address food situation at the Magic Kingdom as well. This resort is going to be three towers, so there's ample opportunity for restaurant space. Each tower will have a rooftop facility that is going to be on top of the tower with observation decks. My quick service restaurant will be on the first floor of the West Tower. It's going to be called Goofy Burger, and it's a Goofy and Friends character experience with a Disney Mickey theming like Chef Mickey's. This will be your kid-friendly burger, fries, chicken tenders, dining option. Serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
I can do me a hamburger.
There you go. The first floor of the East Tower will be a buffet offering called Rod's Real KC Barbecue, and Rod stands for Royal Disney. And this is a 1900s working class barbecue joint with Chad approved level barbecue. So this is quick quality lunch and dinner barbecue fare. Table service will be on the roof of the West Tower, and this is called Fairy Tales, and this is a princess character dining. Similar to Cinderella's Royal Table and Be Our Guest. Enchanted atmosphere, quality menu, including ample kid-friendly or kid-approved choices. Also serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The signature dining location will be on the roof of the East Tower, and this is called the Majestic Steakhouse, and that's Majestic with a G. Cross between Cali Grill, Yachtsman, La Cellier, classic turn-of-the-century steakhouse decor. With the best steaks and best homebrew on property, serving lunch and dinner. The center tower lobby level will house the KC Bar and Grill, also 1900s Kansas City theme. This is adult with older children type bar menu fare for lunch and dinner. And then my extra will be the center tower roof facility. This is going to be called On Top of the Magic Lounge, and this is a DVC lounge, turn of the century jazz club. Total Gilded Age opulence just for DVC members.
Sounds like they'd have a good ribeye there, too.
Yes,
oh, I'm definitely. Telling you, burger, steaks, you got me, buddy. You got me.
Kansas City.
Oh, and barbecue. I forgot the barbecue.
Yes,
I got so focused on the burgers and the steaks.
Chad approved barbecue.
Yeah, Chad approved barbecue. My standards are pretty high there, so.
Yes, I know.
Okay, so... Laura, what's going on over at the Japanese themed resort?
All right. So obviously it's all going to be Japanese style food. So first we have our quick service, which is going to be called Ashi Ramen. Ashi means rising sun. Ramen is actually the most popular food in Japan. Everybody thinks it's sushi, but it's ramen. And each region of Japan kind of has their own unique flavor of ramen. And so it's going to be wide variety of ramen to choose from. And since it's a quick service, it's also going to have some American food for kids that may not want to try something different, unique, but it's mostly going to be your ramen options. Then moving on to table service, it's going to be called Shinkansen, which is bullet train sushi. And they have a popular and unique restaurant style in Japan.
I'm sorry.
It's a conveyor belt that brings sushi around to your tables. And it's pretty unique there. It's actually, it's run very efficiently. Then there's only a couple of these in the United States, but there's a wide variety of sushi and they're placed on individual plates on a chilled conveyor belt.
I've seen that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And it comes to your table. Yeah. And then you just take what you want. And actually the plates are microchipped depending on the price of the sushi. And then they also have custom order, which is on like a different track. It's kind of like a fast track to your table. And I would actually have that looking like the Shinkansen, which is the bullet train in Japan. It would kind of arrive to your table on a bullet train, which I think kids would find fascinating because a lot of kids are into trains. Yeah. So that's my table service. My signature restaurant is going to be called Kiku, and it means chrysanthemum in Japanese. And that is actually the imperial seal, which I felt would be fitting for a signature restaurant. This would be at the top floor of, I'm going to have it be like a tower type thing. It's going to be a traditional style restaurant with floor seating. So you sit on the floor just like you do in Japan. And of course, it's going to have tons of seafood, sashimi, raw fish, sushi, things like that. And then my final thing is going to be actually a karaoke bar called Ongaku, which means music. And it's going to have typical bar type food. They have a special grill in Japan called yakitori, and it's like this long, skinny grill, and it's almost like shish kebab. You grill it right there in front of you. Takoyaki, which is something commonly eaten in Japan, which it's like an octopus dough ball, and it's going to have tempura, and then, of course, lots of Japanese beer and wine and alcohol for you to drink as well. And the karaoke, of course, because you can't go to Japan without going to a karaoke bar, so I felt like I had to include
that
in my... Isn't
that where karaoke started?
It is, yes. Ah. Yep.
I was going to say, when my husband travels to Japan for work, he always gets taken to karaoke bars.
Oh, they do.
They love it.
And they love to sing Elvis, Britney Spears. It is a hoot and a half. Yes.
Oh, yeah. He's told me stories.
Oh, I bet. You got to take some video because it's pretty fun to watch.
So the karaoke is not going to be all Disney songs?
It could be, but no, I'd branch out and let people kind of choose what they wanted to. And maybe it could be a type of thing where for kids before a certain time of day, and then in the evening, it could be just adults only.
Yeah, they do karaoke on board the ships in the evenings for some of the kids on the last night of each cruise. It's a lot of fun to watch them try to do things. It's great.
I bet. Yeah, it'd be fun. And I guess for that, you'd definitely want to do a lot of Disney songs for the kids because... That's what they know best, and some of them can't read the screen anyway. So,
yep.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my food.
Excellent. Cool. I can see that bullet train table service restaurant being just extremely popular with the little kids.
Oh, they'd love it. It'd be a big hit. You'd also have to have a hamburger or hot dog coming by too.
Bowl of macaroni and cheese works for them every time.
Yeah, you couldn't.
And don't forget the chicken nuggets.
Oh, yeah.
I actually don't like sushi myself. And so I'd be grabbing the brownie and the mac and cheese and the hamburger as it comes by. But there could be a little something for everybody.
Sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, speed that train my way.
Well, then that's why they have direct to your table special order train.
Yeah, and it's chilled. And I like the microchip as well. As the buffet one comes by, you just pull it off and it adds to your bill.
It's pretty amazing. Actually, some of the ones in Japan, there's even a spot behind your table, and it's like a conveyor belt for dirty dishes. You just toss it in there, and off it goes.
I need one of those in my kitchen, so my wife will stop complaining about me leaving them in the sink.
Exactly.
Most excellent. Moving on to resort element number 3, okay? Pool names and themes. Melissa, what kind of pool we got going on over at the New Orleans pool?
Oh, this is going to be good.
We're going to have... a lazy river around a sand bottom pool with a zero entry. I haven't quite figured out a name for it yet, but also we're going to have a quiet adult pool on the top of the Bayou Tower where you can swim and watch the fireworks, and that's where the pool bar is going to be.
Okay, like I said, I'm sold. Enough. I give up. I'm there.
Basically, I want to have a family-friendly, but also have an adult area that the adults can, like, enjoy and drink and not have to worry about kids.
Love it.
Yep.
I know parents like their quiet time, and kids like time away from parents.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just thinking that the little kids would just want to fight you to get up there for the swim during the fireworks kind of a deal.
Well, if you put the feature pool in the right spot between the towers, you should still be able to see them.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, it would be like swimming with them right above your head, almost that close to the Magic Kingdom. So that's a unique level of cool.
That would be awesome.
Yep.
Can I change to my secondary resort idea? It's not much better, but still.
You've already conceded, Andrew.
I know. Okay? I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Andrew. I put a lot of thought into this, and I actually picked some brains of my husband and my daughter.
Well, you need to apply for a job with the Imagineers. Come on. Gee.
I'm telling you, most people do kind of pull their spouses into this. I know Laura was just like trying to pull me into it, and I'm like, no, don't ruin the show. I'll listen when we're there.
My wife was like,
just wait until we get on rooms, guys.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Just preparing now. So, John, what do you got going on over at the Kansas City Resort?
Okay. So I'm not a big pool guy, so this is kind of out of my wheelhouse, but there is room between the center and West Tower for a large, have a two-section pool divided by a footbridge. The north end of the pool will have some sort of major water slide feature for the kids, and the south end will be more of a quiet section. And the Lazy Missouri will connect through that section of the pool. Off the north section or northwest section of the pool, there'll be a medium-sized building modeled after the 1900 Kansas City Convention Hall. The side facing the pool will be an indoor-outdoor full-service bar and snack bar. The building will also house an arcade, changing rooms, and public restrooms. And there will be a lazy Missouri River that will wind its way through the resort just like the Missouri River does through Kansas City and will complement the existing creek that runs through the resort site.
Cool.
So those are my pools.
I like the lazy river idea.
Uh-huh.
And I love the creek going through it as well, because now you've got two water elements and kind of fun things there.
Yep.
Right. The creek is existing, so I had to work with that.
Is everybody required to wear one of those turn of the 20th century full swimsuits?
Right, yes. Those will be available in the changing room.
And you'd have the little tents on the side of the pool where they can change your nose.
Yeah.
I could see the cast members wearing those for costuming that to get into theme.
Right, the lifeguards.
Awesome. Especially those ones that the women's wore with the big frilly things all over the side of it. Like, how do you swim in that?
That would be awesome.
Yeah, I can see the cast members doing that.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Sounds good.
Okay, Laura, what kind of pool do we have over there in Japan?
My specialty pool is actually going to be an indoor pool. I have been saying this every time we go to Disney in the summer. It's hotter than heck. I'm tired of slathering sunscreen on my kids all the time. There's your pop-up rain showers. And then it also gets pretty chilly in the wintertime. And not one resort on all of Disney property actually has an indoor pool. So that's what I'm going to do. It's going to be enormous. And it's going to be Mount Fuji themed. And, of course, it will have a Mount Fuji-themed water slide where you're kind of the volcano sliding down the side of it. In addition to that, in Japan, hot springs are extremely popular.
Now she's talking.
Yep. And so I'm going to actually have a spa experience that will have a hot springs-type pool. It's going to be themed just like Japanese hot springs, including the decor of, like, snow monkeys. They're going to be tastefully done in stone, tranquil waterfalls, rocks, etc. And then they'll also have a place where you can get massages and facials and things. So
the Japanese spa.
Yeah, exactly. Nice. So that's going to be my two things, indoor pool and the hot springs spa, which actually would be called Fujisan, which is like the special name for Mount Fuji.
And I think you get bonus points there for adding another mountain to Disney.
Yes. So. And I can see it now. This pool will not be part of the pool hopping because it's indoors. Everybody will want to use it in the wintertime, especially those who have just finished the marathons.
That's right. Well, but I was thinking the opposite, though. I was thinking it'd be large enough so that everybody could pool hop there.
Yeah, but everybody would.
Yeah, that's true.
It's been arranged. Everybody's there. They got to do something with the
that's
crazy
true.
Kids.
You're right. You're right. So I guess it could be. I guess it could be one of those that would be like a beach club where it's only for people staying there. Yep. So enhance the value of
okay,
the resort.
Okay, I'm doing more add-ons.
Andrew's going back to the drawing board.
Bitch. Oh God! You guys are terrible. You're killing me.
Well, speaking of that, Andrew, you better draw quick because you're up next. Oh, what do we got going on at your pool?
You already said I conceded, man. Yeah. Well, you can't rebuild the Mediterranean, but I would say that the Imagineers could take a lot of inspiration from the clear waters of the Mediterranean and make a large enough pool and paint the bottom of it a deep emerald blue, not emerald blue, but a blue that would make it show up dark blue in the center and sort of emerald off to the edges of it, but also make it deep enough where they can build a Imagineer design cliff where you can do cliff diving, but also have the ability to have a swim up bar there as well. See, I didn't put that much thought into it. I guess I should have, but wow, ladies, you're killing me.
Yeah, I love the swim up bar idea. Too bad they're outlawed in Florida, but I still love the
idea.
I've
heard that too.
I don't know why they're banned there. They'd be amazing.
People get drunk and drown themselves.
Is that what it is?
And all the other
they
drunks.
Have so many lifeguards.
All the other drunks are cheering because, hey, you did it.
Can't they make an exception? If you have lifeguards on the premises, you can have a.
Well, that's possible.
You know?
Well, I mean, think about the drinking and the food right there at the deal, and somebody drinks too much and pukes in your pool.
But other states do it and do it well.
Yeah, but Disney's habit is if somebody pukes in the pool, they empty the pool, scrub it, and then refill it.
Are you serious?
They do.
Oh, my goodness.
If you ever find that some kid had a diaper mishap, they will get everybody out of that pool for the rest of the day, drain it, scrub it, and refill it.
Oh, my God.
They
gosh.
Do the same thing on the cruise ships.
I did not know that.
Oh, you've never seen 4,000 people mad just because their kid can't swim in a pool because somebody did something in the pool. Oh, my God.
I have There's a floater. It. Shoot.
I have seen it where they've only shut down the pool for a couple hours and then because of an incident and then cleaned it up and then reopened
right.
it.
Right, and they have...
Depending on treated. The incident.
They have certified health specialists that have to certify the water before they allow people back in it.
Oh, my God.
Yes, they do.
Wow.
That's
well,
Disney.
It's nice to know that it's taken care of.
Yes, it is.
Wow.
Okay, moving right along then to resort element number 4, hopefully with clean pools. we'll be talking about, and hopefully clean rooms too, because we're talking about room design and layout. So, John, what kind of room configurations?
As I mentioned, this is going to be a 3-tower resort, 3 10-story towers square. Each designed after a different 1890 Kansas City hotel, and the Imagineers will have to do their research for design cues for the interiors as well. But it will be upscale, turn of the century, similar to the Grand Floridian or Boardwalk. There are going to be 248 total units. The location of the buildings with their orientation towards Cinderella Castle and the configuration of the rooms means that along with direct park view, obviously for the units on the park facing side of the building, the two sides of each tower will also have angled views of the Magic Kingdom and fireworks. Note that because there are a lot of backstage areas between this resort and the Magic Kingdom, the Imagineers are going to have to go to work with their camouflage magic and use some of that go-away green paint and other things to hide some things throughout the north-northwest
corner
of the
park. They can do it.
They can. I'm looking at about 121 studios of 3 different types. Have a regular studio that will consist of a queen bed, a queen Murphy, a kitchenette, and 1.5 baths. A deluxe studio with a queen bed, queen Murphy, twin pull-out love seat, a galley kitchen, and 2 baths. And what I'm calling a magic studio, which is a queen pull-out couch, and 1 bath. And those will all be standard view. 75 one-bedroom units, king bedroom, queen and queen Murphy bed, kitchen, and 2 baths. 36 2- and 3-bedroom grand villas. And finally, I don't know if you would call these club level or concierge level, but the 10th floor of all 3 towers contain two exclusive penthouse five-bedroom suites, each consisting of five bedrooms, two king, three queen, Queen Murphy and Queen pull-out couch, so they'll sleep between 12 and 14 people, four baths and full kitchen.
Wow, two kings. That would be great.
Six of those exclusive penthouse units available. So the East and West Towers, floors 3 through 9, will house various combinations of studios and one bedrooms with lock-off combinations available. And then the Center Tower, floor 3 through 9, will house the 2 and 3 bedroom unit, as well as some of the Magic Standard View studios on the off-park side. In terms of points, this one's going to be off the charts, obviously, based on the location and the perks. Guess you would say Grand Flow on steroids, with the exception, though, of the Standard View Magic Studios. I'm going to price and point those a couple points below the sort of going rate for the Monorail Resort Standard View Studios.
Okay. Nice. I would love that. I love Bay Lake Tower, but I don't like the theming at all. But I like that it's close to Magic Kingdom, so I would be all over your resort.
Yes.
I'd love it.
Sounds great.
I think you're solving the studio problem we have, too, where there's just not enough studios in existence.
Uh-huh. A single traveler most of the time, or one plus one, so.
I can see that resort appealing to a lot of empty nesters or those without children. Uh-huh. I can see that.
And those with children for that stroller push into the park.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And then the larger room with the two king beds, I can see that with a bigger family where you got two husband, two wife together, two couples with their differing kids together, like two sisters in their families or two brothers in their families together. That would be great.
Very good, John.
Thanks.
What I'm hearing from that resort and the room composition is it doesn't matter if you could only book that resort. I think members would still buy that resort.
Just next to the Magic Kingdom, if anything.
Yeah. Walk into the Magic Kingdom with the Grand Cal entrance. Yeah. You solve that problem.
Oh, yeah.
And the 75% of the rooms with park and firework views.
Yep. Absolutely. Let's go on to Laura. Laura, what do you got going on for room design and layout?
Okay. Well, since Japan has a large population and not a lot of land, they build up for everything, their towers. So mine's going to be more like a Bay Lake Tower style hotel. It is going to have 5-person studios, and I'm going to do kind of a unique 5th-person thing where instead of a Murphy bed or a pull-out chair or a bring-your-own bedding, that 5th-person is going to have a standard Japanese futon, which, unlike the futons we have here in the United States, which are on a frame, Japanese futons actually are very comfortable, and they're on the floor, and they're trifold. So it's just a trifold thick cushion that you put on the floor and you put to the side when you're not using it. And then I'm going to do a new booking room category. I find that 3 bedrooms are really expensive for large families. They only fit 12 people. And so I'd want to be able to do a 4-bedroom. And I actually have a design for this that Chad can throw on the Facebook page. You could see how it would work. It would essentially be 2 2-bedroom dedicated rooms with 9 people each for a total of 18 possible. Each of the 2 bedrooms would have 3 bathrooms. It would be set similar to like an Animal Kingdom style where you don't have your weird corners. It's just, it would be, these 4 bedrooms would be at the end of the halls. So you'd have a 2-bedroom on the left, you'd have a 2-bedroom on the right, and at the very end, connecting between the two, would be a living room, perhaps a kitchen, for both groups to be able to meet in. If nobody rented the 4-bedroom, they could actually lock off the living room area and have 2 2-bedrooms, or they could have a 2-bedroom, and then the other side could be a 2-bedroom plus, which would mean those 9 people have access to that central living area. And since it's on an end, you would have a balcony that would wrap around all 3 sides.
Nice.
I haven't thought about how many rooms I would do in this tower or anything else. I just kind of wanted that unique 4-bedroom. The other thing I wanted to say is I'm not going to make it super luxurious. It's not going to be as luxurious as a 3-bedroom because I'd want the point cost to be affordable for families that had 15 people. So it would be set just above a 3-bedroom. It would just fit more people. Like a step down luxurious, no pool tables and fancy stuff like that.
How would you handle the balconies with the 2 2-bedrooms or the lock off?
Yeah, so that's in my pictures. Essentially, it would be 3 large balconies, but those are kind of separate. So if you had a 2-bedroom and someone else had a 2-bedroom plus, you're not going to be sharing a balcony.
Makes sense.
I could see where somebody would have like a flip door divider that you could kind of flip in and out there.
Yeah, you could do something like that. Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, doesn't the cruise lines do that on one of their balconies, Andrew?
They do that on all the balconies.
That it flips out, that you can open it if there's two families side by side?
Every room has a divider like that where half of the wall can actually be opened up and tacked back so it's you can walk between them.
Oh, that's cool. Perfect. Then that's exactly what I would need.
Good.
That does solve the problem of having a grand gathering where you can get two bedrooms and then just get that center great room that's a connector. That's kind of how I looked at it when I saw the drawing of it.
Yeah, that'll work.
Is you've got two bedrooms with a common great room that would be able to connect like a lock off. And so you could book them as the two bedrooms. You could book it as a two bedroom plus so that one two bedroom gets the entire great room.
Yep.
And now you can have like a really big grand gathering there, and it's not going to break the bank point wise because it's really just two bedrooms plus a central meeting room.
Exactly. Yep. Mm-hmm. And you'd have enough bathrooms. I don't know. I love the Animal Kingdom layout where each two bedroom has three bathrooms. So I think for 18 people to be able to have three bathrooms on one side and three bathrooms on another is perfect.
Yep.
You could even throw another bathroom in the living area too.
Yeah. Just like they do at Bay Lake Tower in Kidani Village. That's great.
Good deal. So no studios then, or no compositions on those?
Well, you're going to, everything else is still going to be your studio, your one bedroom, your two bedroom, some lock-offs and some not. So they're going to be your standard booking categories. I probably wouldn't do a three bedroom here since I have the four. So it would just simply be your standard studio, one bedroom, two bedroom, or at the very end of each of the wings would be the four bedroom.
Yeah, and I think point chart out-wise, if you did that for slightly above or some kind of a point chart value for that center lock-off room as an attachment upgrade.
Yep.
That would be how I would come back in and sell it.
And like I think about our family, if we go with extended family and bring, you know, grandparents and aunts and uncles and stuff, we can't, like we're going this summer, we can't fit in a two-bedroom, nor did we have the points for a three.
And they're not available at Beach Club.
So we had to do a two-bedroom and a studio, and who knows how close they're going to be to each other. So this would have been perfect for grandparents, aunts and uncles, kids, friends, whatever. Fit 18 people.
Kind of also solves the treehouse issue.
Yes.
Where you only have nine?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that treehouse, the parking there is kind of a problem. It really needs a third bathroom.
It could use a third bathroom. And they could use some, actually, they had like a walking bridge between two to connect them.
And a king bed.
Yeah,
don't they have a king bed?
Nope.
Is it only a queen?
Only
in there?
A queen.
Oh.
That's why we don't rent them.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
Yep.
I didn't notice. I didn't even pay attention to that when I was there. But yeah, you're right.
Okay. Well, speaking of not renting someplace, Andrew, what are you going to book in your resort?
Like I described earlier, it would be just like the little white houses with the blue roofs in the Greek Isles, and they would be almost like bungalows where they would have their own separate little areas. You'd have a small kitchenette, but full-featured kitchen. So kitchenette doesn't really cover it, but a full kitchen, small eating area, but the main dining space would be outside and could be covered if it were a rainy day or something of the sort, and have a couple of small bedrooms inside with a modest bed, especially have one room with a king bed, and then like I said, they're all bungalows, but the points on them are much lower than a three-bedroom or a two-bedroom would be in most other resorts. But right outside off of the little patio area, the eating area, would be a set of stairs that would go down to your own private small pool. I'd say 15 by 20 foot size, like you would have on some of those places in some of the bigger resorts around there, or some of the private homes that are on the side of the cliffs. So there wouldn't be anything like a studio or a one bedroom or a two bedroom. They'd be like little bungalows. But again, the pricing structure would be vastly different. I'm not real sure how that would be worked out, but it wouldn't be astronomical like the bungalows at the Poly would be, but more in line, if not lower, than the cabins at Copper Creek.
Okay.
That'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I could,
yeah, I mean,
could
if
see,
you could bring those point charts down from the cabins,
oh, yeah,
they're still a little on the pricey
yeah.
side.
Yeah. Christmas, we did four nights in there. Some of the lower point times of the year, we could probably do about five or six nights ourselves. But where I would put this would be over between the golf course at Golden Oak and Bay Lake on the east side of the campground. you'd have the view of Bay Lake and probably the fireworks. Build it into that area over there so they have not too much to the north and not too much to the south, but a lot of buffer area. Isolate it, but make it as more authentic as possible. And you know the Imagineers, they can do that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, they can.
Yeah, they can.
They can make it look like you're climbing up the side of those
and,
cliffs
and
there.
And I would love for the lobby to be very much like eyes up, jaw down, entering the Wilderness Lodge. When you go into this place, you want to feel exactly like you have just been transported to the Greek Isles. You'd have the breeze like it's coming off of the Mediterranean and such.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very cool.
And the smell that they would pipe in there.
Oh, yeah.
I can just picture it right now.
Okay, Melissa, what have we got over at Room Design over at our New Orleans?
So we're going to have three towers, of course, like I mentioned. In the French Quarter, your rooms are going to be slightly bigger than a normal studio and have a small apartment-sized kitchen and a bigger balcony. Each floor of the tower is going to be based off of the different crews of Mardi Gras. We're going to get the parade float designers of Mardi Gras to actually come in and design each floor that it has a different feel. And then the studios are going to have two regular beds like Old Key West and Sleep 4, but some of the studios will be a king size only.
Ooh.
The Bayou Tower will have 1 and 2 bedroom family rooms, and they will be themed off the plantations along the bayou. Not like the old plantations, not the newer ones. And it'll have 1 bedroom and 2 bedrooms. Each 1 bedroom will sleep 6, and each 2 bedroom will sleep 8. We're going to bump up those numbers a little bit from our normal rooms. Then the Old City Tower is going to be decorated in the style of New Orleans Old City before Katrina hit. This will feature the Riverwalk and a wharf, and it'll be closest to the Seven Seas Lagoon to tie into the riverboat and boat launch for Magic Kingdom. Your Riverwalk restaurant will also be here, and you can sit down, enjoy the meal, walk the Riverwalk, and take in your sight. So it's going to be a mix of studios and 1 bedroom.
You better copyright this idea before Disney does this. Because I'm telling you, this is great. Wow.
Now, what do we got going on there for large over-the-top stuff? Any 3 bedrooms or club level? Or
no. We're just going to kind of keep it simple to the 1 bedroom and 2 bedrooms, keep the 3 bedrooms at other resorts. We're going to try to make the 2 bedrooms a little bit larger for families instead of making them like 3 bedroom grand villas. And then the point chart's going to be similar to Copper on their studios and all that, but you're going to be able to cook a meal in a studio instead of having to bring stuff in to cook the meal.
Love it.
Yeah, very good. I'm sure that'll be very popular because some of the studio people feel a little under-equipped in the kitchens. They'd like to do a little bit more.
Yeah, I hear people or see people on the internet talking about stowing into their owner's locker boxes like a griddle or a waffle iron and things like that for the studios. That would be fantastic.
Or an Instapot or a crock pot.
Yeah, I take crock pots myself.
Guilty.
But we don't stay in the studios, so crock pots work great for us in the 1 bedrooms too.
I bought a 6-inch skillet and a grill and a griddle, the little mini dash one for my Old Key West stay.
Okay, then. We know we're eating well in your resort there, Melissa. 3 of these are actually attached to theme parks. So moving on to resort element number 5, transportation. Laura, you're up first. I know we're walking to Animal Kingdom, but what other kinds of cool transportation options are there?
Okay, so, well, I was trying to think of Japan. They have such good public transportation that a small train would be awesome to take you to the front of the Animal Kingdom, but that's not cost effective. So I would put in a walking trail, but I think it would also be fun to do an underground tunnel to walk there. Air-conditioned, heated, which wouldn't be hard to do because you're underground. But I think it'd be fun to do some theming under there, and it's just a unique way to get back to your resort. That walkway would take you straight into the resort as opposed to going outside.
Teledoors, maybe?
Yeah, like that type of thing. And then aside from that, I mean, busing to the rest of the resorts, there's not a whole lot I can do there since it's just next to Animal Kingdom. So everything else would be the walkway or a bus.
Okay. No bullet train idea coming back in?
That's what I was saying. You could do a train from Animal Kingdom to the resort, but that's a little cost prohibited, I think. But or maybe like a little trolley or something like that would be fun. But Japan is all about public transportation. Their thing is they have so many people to move around that it would be very cool to have a train style thing to get to the entrance, but I'm trying to make this as realistic as possible, and I don't see that happening.
Yeah, but it wouldn't have to be too expensive because it doesn't have a long way to go.
That's true. That's true. I mean, kids would love it. If it was more like a smaller type train, like the one at Magic Kingdom, they could do something like that.
Nah, I'm thinking full-blown bullet train over bullet to train. Coronado, yeah. And then down to Magic Kingdom, man. Yep. Just come right up that side.
Oh, all right. Well, if the money's no object, then right. Yes, money I will no have object. A bullet train
hey,
going.
We're talking about Disney here. What do you mean money's no object?
Okay, my bullet train is going everywhere. And the front of the bullet train will have Disney characters painted on them.
A little Duffy action on there just for fun.
Yeah, I can see the train on Zootopia working that too.
That would be cool. That would be cool.
Oh, yeah, that's another IP we have to blend in.
Yep.
Andrew, what kind of transportation are we getting over there at Andrew's Greek Isles?
Every bungalow stay comes with a free minivan.
Nice.
Nice, like a personal minivan driver?
Just dial up the Lyft nice. App, click minivan, and it comes to you, picks you up, takes you where you want to go, free of charge.
I'm in.
Yep.
Totally.
Phew, I'd hate to see the points on that one, Andrew.
I told you I don't know how to do the points.
Because, I mean, just look at what they get for club level over at Animal Kingdom right. just to have a couple of beers and some
which
snacks.
Which I've never understood, but still. I mean, seriously, I'm not a point figure outer. I'm a point user. And when I see where I want to stay and I don't have the points, I save or I bank and I borrow and I go and I do it. The next year we suffer if we don't have any points. I rent some or I'll do a cruise. Yeah, but that's just me. That's what my way of doing things. But a free minivan anywhere you want to go on or off property.
That'd be awesome.
So that explains why you're always going on cruises there. Andrew.
Yes, I've got two planned, one for April and one for May. Yep, I'm ready to go.
The I'm out of points, but I got Disney-itis.
Yeah, just bank them or wait till the following year and you got it. Do a cruise this year.
Melissa, what kind of transportation options are we getting there over at the New Orleans Resort?
So for transportation for Magic, you can either walk or take a boat. I'm going to give you both options. That way you can do it either way. And then to the rest of those resorts, we're going to use the buses, of course. Because unfortunately, there's just no way to tie it to the other resorts. Easy.
Well, with it that close to the Magic Kingdom, right? You can just take a yeah. boat or hop on the monorail or...
Or like I said, you can walk in the back entrance that connects to that resort. Yeah.
I was gonna say, you're that close. Are you just going to attach to the monorail and put a monorail stop in?
You could for Epcot, but getting to Hollywood Studios and Animal Kingdom, you're still going to need those buses.
Yeah, just like any Magic Kingdom right. resort area, you're going to need a hotel, you're going to need the buses.
Yeah.
Would you be in walking distance of the Magic Kingdom monorail stop, or would you have your own stop on site?
I almost think you'd need to put something on the Resort Loop monorail so that you could get over to TTC to do the switch mm-hmm. to get to Epcot.
Yeah, it's easy enough to build another station there.
Yeah, I think they'd be able to do it.
I mean, yeah, that's what they did with the Grand Floridian when they built it. They just built it around the current beams.
Uh-huh.
Just built up to it with a platform and boom, instant monorail stop.
Bingo.
Yep. I'm seeing it. John, how are you going to address this problem, seeing that you're on a pretty similar geographic location? Or are you on the backside of Magic Kingdom?
I'm on the backside of Magic Kingdom. I had thought about a monorail extension loop to sort of cut into it. Of course, there'll be the typical resort bus service from the north side of the resort. Based on the location, I haven't been able to really locate a feasible walking path, the Rivers of America and huge backstage areas. So I don't know that there would be a foot walking path from the Gateway Resort into the Magic Kingdom, but I've got a couple other creative ways of getting there, in addition to the trusty buses. Beyond the south end of my pool, between the West and Central Tower, there's an area where the Walt Disney World Railroad tracks pass and the Rivers of America flow by. We're going to build a big transportation hub there, and it's going to be modeled after the 1880s Union Depot in Kansas City, and it's called the Gateway Depot. It'll straddle the tracks with a grand concourse that the train will pass through and will serve as a multi-purpose transportation and entertainment center. All boarding at the Gateway Depot will have to include a check for a valid park admission because it's going right to the Magic Kingdom. Transportation in and out of the Gateway Depot will include a Gateway station on the Walt Disney World Railroad. This will be a new stop taking Gateway guests into and out of the Magic Kingdom old rail style. Gateway paddle boat shuttle The south side of the depot will be a boat launch where a half-size paddle boat called the Kansas City will shuttle Gateway guests around the rivers of America to and from a landing along the wharf in Frontierland. And then the Gateway Skyliner will also depart from the Gateway Depot, taking them to the monorail Magic Kingdom station, so guests can then jump on the monorail to the other resorts or to the TTP and Epcot. And those are my transportation options.
So you're going to extend the Skyliner system back there?
Yeah, have a straight line from the depot at the resort to the Magic Kingdom monorail station. So that will connect the resort to the monorail, and then guests can take the monorail to various locations from there.
That's cool.
Yes, I like that.
That's very cool.
Yeah, as I said, I was going to have a monorail loop that would take from the resort and sort of shunt onto the monorail tracks and then back out off, but decided to go with the Skyliner instead.
I think that's incredibly cool, especially if you come across the park with your Skyliner like the old Skyrides did.
Yes.
And can you put air conditioning in yours?
Oh, yeah, this is a short...
There's the argument
short back
again.
And forth. We'll do that.
Oh, my God. I will never be so happy as to when those things actually go live so that we can prove this air conditioner needed or not needed theory.
Right.
Oh, needed. Needed. It's not going to take long for them to realize, oops.
Yeah, well, we'll see. They're a pretty creative bunch. So I have a little bit more faith in them than that.
I'm with Chad on that one. Let's just wait and see.
Me too.
I'm just waiting for someone to get stuck in one for hours and complain.
Yes. That's what I thought, too.
Because there's going to be no air.
Yes, I thought the same exact thing. What if it breaks and you're up there and it's 100 degrees?
I like the idea that it's nothing in the world but a great big giant distributed lightning rod.
For the most lightning strikes
lightning
anywhere in the United States.
Of the world.
It is.
But that's just
hence my need for an indoor pool.
That's just me.
So other than lightning avoiding here recreational activities, trying to... Squirrel, right? Get back on track, right? Resort element number 6, recreational activities. Andrew, what are we doing other than lightning rods? Okay.
Well, at the Greek Isles Resort, you would have, of course, swimming, Greek-style relaxation. Of course, there'd be a huge gift shop there that wouldn't just be Disney. It'd be kind of like the one at Jumbo House, Animal Kingdom, where you would have a lot of Greek-themed souvenirs and such. And things to get and do, but would also put possibly a tour guide service there for the Greek Isles itself. And we could also put in a small theater, walk-through, walk-in theater, if you like, one that's in the round, and do kind of like they do at the Canada Pavilion at Epcot, but have it all about the Greek Isles and the Mediterranean Sea. Your standard entertainment, of course, would be pools and the parks around Walt Disney World Resort.
Okay, so I'm thinking like an outdoor Greek amphitheater.
That's possible. And do some of the old Greek plays in there, maybe.
Yeah, I'm picking that up. Yeah, as long as it's not one of those Greek tragedies we're talking.
Oh, no? Come on. I got to have a tragedy somewhere.
No, everything's so I happy. Think that's going to go over too well with the little. So.
Oh, all Disney cartoons have tragedies. I mean, look at Bambi.
Yeah.
Oh, it's all part of it.
Yeah, just live action on it. Nah, yeah. Not feeling it, man. Not feeling it.
Like I said, I didn't not think this it. One through like she did on the Orleans one. I'm telling you.
Hey, Greek tragedies are not exactly family-friendly entertainment.
Especially with the blood, you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm with you on
keep
the
crowds moving out of the restaurants.
I'm with, you know... Andrew, you're now getting bloodying up my podcast, and we should have just bailed this one right off the start.
Sorry.
I don't know, buddy. So,
I'm telling
Melissa,
you,
what we got going on?
My other option might have been better.
I should have taken your other option. I should have taken door number 2.
Okay, so at the Villas at the Big Easy, we're going to be doing daily Mardi Gras parades.
Woohoo!
We're going to have the strolling jazz musicians along the Riverwalk. And then for the kids, we're going to have arts and crafts of making your own Mardi Gras bead wreath or a Mardi Gras mask. And then for the adults, we're going to have a Mardi Gras mixology.
Oh, oh, oh. Are you going to do a funeral once in a while?
We can have a dirt
yeah,
shirt.
There you go.
And then for our interactives, because I touched on this earlier. So we're going to have a Madame Medusa interactive diamond hunt. And then we're going to have another one called Brack Randall. where you take a shovel and you whack a Randall and it lights up different colors, like in the movie Monsters, Inc. when he was in the bayou and says another gator got in the trailer.
Yeah.
Right.
And then for your character breakfast that I mentioned earlier, you're going to have Dr. Facilier, Lewis, Ray, Tiana, Naveen, Madame Odie, Evangeline. You're going to have a lot of those characters come in from the movie Princess and the Frog.
Wow.
For the and like roaming around, and they'll be also be at the breakfast for the DVC members.
They'll have to close down the Port Orleans resorts after this.
To retheme them.
Yes.
Or maybe they should step up their game. Yeah,
there you go.
Or send them back to like Pixie Landing. Wasn't that what they were before they got the
Dixie Landing?
Yep.
Lame.
So, John, what do we got going on for recreational activities over at your resort?
As mentioned, the East and West Tower restaurants on the top of the towers will have observation decks, as well as the DVC exclusive lounge for a nightly firework viewing. The Gateway Depot is also going to include a veranda with a full-service bar and a large lounge and viewing area of the Magic Kingdom and the fireworks. You can sit and watch the paddle boats go by and then wait for the fireworks. Mickey and the other Big Five characters will meet and greet in the grand lobby of the Center Tower throughout the day. I mentioned that the pool area will have an arcade attached to it. And then in the evening, the Dapper Dans and jazz combos and other street artists and musicians will wander throughout the resort, similar to what they do over at Boardwalk. But the Magic Kingdom's the main attraction here. So I'm adding two big perks to guests staying at the Gateway Resort in addition to the location. Guests staying at the Gateway Resort will get a daily entry or pass for the Magic Kingdom for each night of stay. And the Gateway Magic Hour, 5 days a week, only for Gateway guests, either in the morning or the evening, there will be a 1 hour of at least two adjacent lands available for Magic Hour for Gateway guests.
Hmm.
So those are my perks and activities.
Now that's a pretty huge perk because they normally charge, what, it's $100 or so to get into Toy Story Land now for an hour?
Yep.
Yeah.
Those are huge benefits. I'm down with some extra Gateway hours. I know over at Grand Cal, you can actually do a soaring tour before the park opens if you're staying at the Grand Cal. And you kind of sneak in there. So that sounds a little Grand Cal reminiscent to me.
Yeah, cool. I can see the tour into the Utilidors on that.
Yeah.
Laura, what do you got going on for recreational activities?
In addition to the karaoke bar, the children's activities will include origami, of course. And then I thought it'd be fun to get those blow-up sumo suits for the kids where they could wrestle each other. You know, I think they would love that. Oh, I mean, adults too.
I've seen kids on Halloween with that. They're great.
They're awesome. I'm not going to limit it to an age. Like, if adults want to do it too, they can.
I can do it without the suit.
And then they could also do like things with anime and manga. And then for adult activities, I would do sushi making with official sushi chef, calligraphy. Yeah, I don't like to eat sushi, but I would make it. I think that'd be so much fun. Calligraphy. And then they have an art form called ikebana, which is actually flower arranging. And it's a very specific art form where you arrange flowers into really unique things. And then for the whole family, I'd probably do a little kabuki theater, which would be fun too. So those are my extra activities over at Sakura.
Okay.
I was going to say you could get Morimoto to come in and teach the sushi making.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
I can imagine origami is going to be in there someplace.
Oh, I said origami. Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, that was my first thing. For sure, origami. There's so many different things you could do, and it could be super simple to more advanced. Adults can get in on that, too.
And, of course, if there's chopsticks there, you know, me at least and the kids are going to be doing the whole walrus imitation deal.
No. And that's the other thing is...
I get yelled at every time for that.
I teach Japanese and I give my kids a whole lesson on proper etiquette with chopsticks and how to hold them. So no walrus imitations, no stabbing your food.
You're that would no be another. No, it's Disney World. You're supposed to be a kid again. Come on.
I was going to say, Laura, you could also bring in Japanese games from Japan and have them taught.
Yes. They have really cool things. Like there's this wooden game called Kendama, which similar to a yo-yo type of a thing where that would be fun too. So there's so much Japanese culture that is so different than here that I think there's just so much I could pull in. Be fun.
And maybe for adults offer like an actual Japanese tea ceremony.
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That'd be very cool.
Yeah, there we go.
I still like the Japanese spa idea.
Oh, yeah. That's where I'm going first.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, maybe we could get one of those put into the Epcot Pavilion.
Well, hey, I can have Hercules.
I was going to say, we'll find Chad walking around with walrus chocolate.
Oh, my gosh. Oy.
Hey, I can have Hercules show up at my resort.
That is cool.
So, speaking of that, let's move into the final comments and wrap up. Melissa, give us a 30-second summary and then a 60-second pitch as to why voters should pick your resort.
Basically, my slogan for the New Orleans resort, the Villas at the Big Easy, is it's going to be New Orleans done right. It's everything that New Orleans encompasses and brought all into one area. And I believe that it would go over a little better with DVC members than just the moderates, because you've got all these unique elements like dueling piano jazz bar. You've got the boat that takes you out and gives you dinner and fireworks. You've got a family area, but then you've got your adult area. So it appeals to everyone.
I'm feeling it. John, what do you got going on for a 30-second recap and a 60-second vote for me plea?
The gateway to the Magic Kingdom is just that. It's the gateway to the Magic Kingdom. It puts you at the doorstep to the magic. In addition to the fabulous dining locations and choices it gives you, the views of the park and views of the fireworks for a majority of the rooms, its location and amenities will be unequaled. It's the dream park for lovers of the Magic Kingdom and of the whole hometown USA theme. So vote for the gateway.
Yeah, I'm feeling it. Laura, can you give us a quick recap of your resort and why we should vote for it?
All right, so my Japanese resort, Sakura, will be next to the Animal Kingdom, which I think is unique there. And it really is a fully immersive Japanese experience. So many people don't get a chance to travel overseas. I think the Japanese culture has so much to offer, and it's so unique that coming to my resort will really give you the feel like you are in Japan, like nothing else you can find here in the States. Option to have large families staying there too in my 4-bedroom, I think would be a wonderful reason to own there. So vote for Sakura.
Okay. Andrew, do you have a recap on why we should vote for the Greek Isles?
Well, I can't beat Sakura, but for the Greek Isles Resort, it's a laid-back location next to Bay Lake, but gives you the feel of being on the Mediterranean, gives you all of the amenities of a small bungalow instead of having to have a studio or a 2-bedroom. And it also gives you the advantage of having a small swimming pool right off of your balcony. And it gives you the advantage of having a minivan that'll take you anywhere you want to go on or off Disney property.
Okay, then. Grab your points for that one. The pool, the minivan, it would be killer, but I'm not going to want to see the point charts when DVC gets a hold of that. So. Well, I would like to thank everybody for joining the show and give the listeners a reminder. To vote for your favorite resort, you would go to mydvcpoints.com/020 for episode 20. Just as a reminder, from episode 10, Valerie won that episode with her Swiss Chalet resorts. And the winner of round 2 will be going up against Valerie and the winner of round 3 in contest with McNair Wilson, the former Disney Imagineer who created the Tower of Terror, and he will judge that one live and on the spot.
Cool.
Definitely coming back in American Idol style, and you'll be sending one of these 4 people on to that final round with McNair to judge for the ultimate prize. I'd like to thank John, Melissa, Andrew, and Laura. Thanks for joining in today.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Chad.
You're welcome.
Thank
you.
This
was a lot of fun.
This show always is. We get a lot of great comments and feedbacks from the listeners on this one as well. Thanks, everybody, for listening in, and have a magical day.
You too.
Bye now.
You too.
Well, hopefully you had as much fun listening to this episode as we had creating it, because this show was a blast. We do have a couple of spots left for round 3 of Franken Resort. If you're interested and would like to put your Imagineering hat on and give this a shot, we're all ears. Drop a line to me at the Contact Us page at mydvcpoints.com. And once again, while you're there, mydvcpoints.com/020, and please vote for one of these 4 individuals and move them on to the final round. I'd also like to take a moment to thank some listeners for some five-star reviews. Tyler WKU writes, "For a new DVC member like myself, this podcast allows me to walk in the footsteps of some of the veteran DVC members out there. I'm so immersed by the member interviews that I can feel all of the emotions, memories, and magic that each member has experienced over the years. Chad does an awesome job bringing their stories to life, and I'm always hooked from beginning to end. This podcast will truly make you appreciate your DVC membership while giving you ideas on how to vacation for years to come." Thanks for the great review, Tyler. And I'd also like to thank Hillary126. "I found this podcast when we were seriously considering buying DVC a few weeks ago. It gave me a lot of great info. Last week, we decided to take the jump and are now DVC members. I'm now enjoying listening as a member and getting all kinds of ideas for how to use points and adding items to our Disney bucket list. Thanks for all the great ideas and info. And thank you for listening and taking the time out to write us a review. That really helps us get the word out on our show. If you haven't yet, please like our Facebook page, facebook.com/mydvcpoints, and join the DVC community, facebook.com/groups/mydvcpoints. The number one benefit of liking our page is you'll be notified when we do our live shows. Right now, they're currently on Monday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. However, in the near future, we will be transitioning to Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Thanks for listening and have a magical day.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.